Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes your eyes look blue to me, although I know they're really green. I seem to see you differently.
Gemini, different coin, different size, yeah. Still I learn to improvise, all my love intensifies. She can see the Gemini and on the flip side, that's the Jim and her. Way before that was him and her, I can see the him and her. Before the love, I mean before the friends of Kirby's and birds and all that other shit. Before the time we spending time and shit, partaking lovey-dovey shit. She shot and buried all lovey Smith, kissing, hugging, feeling, touching shit. Infatuated with it, fascinated with no knowledge of what we up against. But that's the risk we take, falling in line, not knowing if someone to catch you. It's a leap of faith, I mean Jesus' sake, baby, it's no doubt that you special. Someone I spent my life next to, you set me straight and I correct you. First you love me not and then you love me, you someone I always give my best to. Yeah, and respect you. Uh-huh.
Wait a minute, who are you?
Gemini, different coin, different size, no. Similar shape, similar size, no. Similar smile, similar eyes. Got me looking at a deja vu, I mean, ain't I you, I mean, fuck this shit. Breaking up and then making up and then waking up like enough of this. It's a paradox of paradise. Life's a gamble, here's a paradise. But it's quite an interesting relationship between a host and parasite. Tunnel vision, I prepare my sight for the things I want to grind for. Then I open up my mind for it. Petty shit don't have the time for it. This is shit they get in line for. I just try to make the best of it. All the girls in the world and it's fate in the bag, you're the one I connected with. And I put you on a pedestal. Spend the rest of life next to you. You keep me straight and I'm correcting you. A testament to my respect for you.
Gemini, all the purpose. First you love me, then you hate me. Ain't no way I sympathize. Gemini, made me wanna ever buy. First you hate me, then you love me. Girl, my heart is in the night.
About the body that we buried. You were God, now you no longer have to worry. my people fly. Now it's time to watch my people rise. How many mothers have to cry? How many brothers gotta die? How many more times? How many more times? How many more marches? How many more times? How many more lives? How many more times? How many mothers have to cry? Tell me. How many brothers gotta die? Tell me. How many more times? Hold on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're now tuned in to GEI Radio Sunday Talk. I am your host, Tone. Got my co-host, John. What's good? What's going on?
Hey, what's good, everybody? How you doing, Tone?
Chilling, chilling, chilling. We got a special guest.
98 degrees.
It's killing here, too. I think it's like 97, but
yeah.
It's like 102.
Everywhere.
What's
up,
we got a special guest joining us this Sunday. We got my brother, Mr. Chris Warren. What's up, man?
What's up, bro? What's up, bro? How everybody doing?
What's up, Chris? All right, how you, bro?
Chilling
on the grind, like always.
Be glad to have you on, bro.
Appreciate it.
Thanks. Like I said, before we get into our, our couple topics for the day, I always ask, because we all in different spots, how's everything going in New York, Jonathan? Is it progress, or is it looking like they're going to be ready to shut stuff back down?
Nah, New York going to phase 4 or whatever on Monday. Basically, New York is straight. We have 1%. So we good. They're not going to open up no clubs and no, sports and nothing like that. But, restaurants are open. It's outdoor seating, but restaurants are fully open. Barbershops and hair salons are open. I see kids playing ball in the park now. So, we doing all right.
Thanks. Now, Chris, I know you down in Florida. I'm pretty sure the whole, we get the story, because I'm in Maryland, Jonathan is in New York. We've been getting news that Florida's been, like, the worst state, pretty much, since this whole thing started. So how is it, since you're there, how is it really down there?
As far as what the news is reporting, it definitely is that bad right now. They starting to stop finally actually disclosing the numbers from the hospitals. They went about it a little wrong as far as reopening as soon as they did, especially when it comes to the beaches and different things as far as that. That's one thing that I totally felt that was definitely an issue, between the beaches and the clubs. But at the same time, it was very difficult when you had these teenagers and these college students that's used to partying all the time. So, that's another reason why the spike.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. It's hopefully, they figure this thing out. This is definitely something crazy for everybody. We all do business, and this is definitely affecting not just our business, but a lot of people's business. So let me, my first question to you, before we get into that topic, Chris, can you let everybody know, reintroduce yourself and, your businesses and what you do for the people, please.
All right. My name is Chris Warren. I have several different businesses. One of them will start with the transportation. As far as the logistics right now, I've been running semis now probably for the last, been in business for 2 years, recently started within the last, I'd say, 3-6 months. As far as that, business is going well. That's definitely a business that I encourage everyone to definitely look into and if they are interested in going into that type of business, to reach out to me. I also do real estate as well. We own our own brokerage company down in Florida, which we also expanded in Georgia, Texas, and Alabama within the next few months as well. Also, we also take part as far as group home and assisted living with my other company, Prodigy Living. So we try to touch all bases, and then so pretty much to wrap around everything is our nonprofit, We Are All We Need, which pretty much is our village, which allows us to kind of create all the jobs and opportunities, not only for our youth and young adults, but also as far as our entrepreneurs and different business owners as well. So that's pretty much the background that we're doing right now.
Now, let me ask you this. How did you get into the real estate business? Was that something that you always wanted to do, or kind of like fell in your lap?
With the real estate, that really kind of just fell in my lap. You know, I started noticing a lot of different some of my clients, you know, being a financial advisor, I started learning a lot of my clients were dealing with real estate. And when I actually started taking a look at the numbers and understanding as far as what you can really do with the real estate game, especially in Florida, you know, you're looking at 40 to 60% profit on, you know, fix and flip and, you know, being able to leverage your money and learning about hard money lenders and actually acquiring property. You know, but with the fix and flip in the real estate game, that's something that's definitely recession proof. It doesn't mean if it's up, if the market's up, that's great. When the market's down, that's also a good thing. You just got to be ready to buy. So it's always opportunity in real estate. And I really, really encourage everybody to get into some form of real estate. If it becomes a landlord, owner, or even a silent investor, you know, definitely try to take some part in it.
Yeah. Now, in that business, do you see a lot of, you know, black men and women getting into real estate?
Yeah. You know, one of our programs that we actually offer with our company is giving that new investor that security of, you know, doing their first fix and flip. Because a lot of different things that people don't understand is it's not as easy as you see it on TV. You know, you get a 30-minute preview and you think you can fix and flip a house. It doesn't work like that. You know, you have a lot of different obstacles and challenges that you have to deal with as far as even to get into that particular field and to even get it done. But as far as seeing a lot of black people really get involved in that, I definitely encourage it. And it takes time, you know, and patience. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, you may think you can get it done in 3 months. It may take 6 months. I always tell people just to understand that, you know, when you have an asset like that, it doesn't matter when you complete it, you know you're going to profit something. But you just have to always look at the long haul as far as anything. You know what I mean? When it comes to that fix and flip game with the real estate, it's not always going to go your way initially, but you have to just have that positive outlook and understand, like, hey, I'm going to make $30,000-$40,000 at the end of this deal. So you always have to keep your eyes on the prize when it comes to that.
Now, is it better to rent out or get the I can't think of what it's called right now, like the government assistance, like, you know, the people that come in, they only got to pay half. And you get the rest from
right.
the government. So
it's definitely
about the
it's
term.
A,
HUD, that's what it is. HUD, yeah, HUD.
Personally, I would encourage people to use. Personally, as far as investing into as far as a fix and flip, I would encourage people to use hard money lenders and private lending. And the reason for that is because you have the opportunity to leverage the situation. Right, so if you only have $5,000 to invest, that may actually allow you to purchase a $100,000 property. So it's different ways to leverage the money in order to actually purchase or acquire a property. So it's really just doing your research as far as what you're looking to do. As far as the HUD, you know, that's definitely when it comes to that first time home buyer with the down payment assistance. You know, I definitely encourage that as well if you're looking to just purchase your first home. But how I always tell a lot of even young adults that goes through our program is pretty much you have to look at it like this. Do you want to purchase a property that's going to be income producing, or do you want to purchase a property that's going to incur debt? Because even though you purchase your own home, it's not actually incurring, it's not accruing any money. You understand what I'm saying? Whereas if you actually purchase an investment property, it makes you $400 to $500. That's also generating income for yourself. You know, so it's definitely teaching people the different ways that going into things. It's like, okay, it's great to be a first-time home buyer, but how about we actually be that first-time home investor? Because this is what's now also in providing your income along with, you know what I mean, you owning the asset. So you understand what I'm saying? So I tell a lot of people that, you know, to kind of change your mindset, okay, rent, but you also own a property and it's paying for your rent. So if you really look at you pretty much trying to purchase property, you want to purchase property that's going to produce income for yourself to eliminate all your bills. Because that's what's wrong with a lot of individuals right now is they work to pay bills. But if you have your assets pay your bills, then you're really not working as far as what you need to. You understand what I'm saying? So it's a lot of different ways that you can go into different things when it comes to the real estate. So, you know, that's just one aspect of things that we kind of look into.
Okay. Now, when it, as far as the transportation, how did you get into that?
But the transportation, to be honest with you, man, I'm just a numbers person. If I see something that can make money, I just pretty much I do the research in order to produce the actual outcome. You know, I'm great at just building processes as far as building efficiency. You know what I mean? I looked at the transportation numbers. It's ridiculous. If I can tell people right now that you can make $4,000 or $5,000 a month and just own a truck, you know, it's just like that's a quick $50,000 or $60,000 from doing nothing. You know, people look at me as far as like, oh, okay, you know, you driving trucks. No, I don't even have a CDL. I'm not even able to move a damn truck. But that doesn't mean I'm not able to own a company. You know what I mean? So you have to find the right people and believe in the right people in order to actually make your business worth your while and to actually, you know, how can I say, run your business. A lot of people look as far as a one-man mountain. You know, I don't look at it like that. You understand what I'm saying? You have to have a team in order to create wealth. You look at the richest man in the world right now, Jeff Bezos with Amazon. How many employees is with Amazon? Somewhere over 200,000 people. That's his team.
Hmm.
So if people start understanding if you work together, you can actually acquire more, then that's the only way things happen. You feel what I'm saying? Like, everyone doesn't have to be the richest man, but in order to be the richest man, you have to have the team around you. So that's why I'm building a team as far as everybody and what we're doing together. Like, that's how it actually works. And so, you know, I'm all for doing anything when it comes to helping people start a business, helping them with the resources, whatever we need to in order to make it happen.
Excellent. Cool, man, cool. I just wanted to, you know, just, you know, open up with that, man, just get the listeners, you know, a brief introduction to you and what you do and just the different things that you got going on, which, you know, what the topic is today is ownership, you know what I mean, and how important ownership is, especially for, you know, guys like, you know, us, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, come from where we come from, and a lot of times people, you know, count us out from where we come from, not like on races, but just people that we grew up with because they've never seen people make it or never seen people from as parts of the city ever leave the city. So they, you know, they put it on us like, oh, you can't do that, you can't do that. So ownership, Jonathan, we'll start with you. How important is ownership?
Oh, man, ownership is everything. Ownership gives you the opportunity to make income for yourself. It's that simple. If you own it, then you are able to profit off of it. The problem is people don't realize that, you know, well, a lot of people don't have the gumption. I don't know how to put it, but, you know, it's some people think it's easier to work for somebody else, you know, and then live off of that person's security. But ownership, I mean, yes, you have, you know, the responsibility that comes with it, but there's nothing like owning your own. I don't care what it is. Imagine me walking around in sneakers that belong to somebody else, and I got to give them back at 5 o'clock. You know what I mean? So, you know, we need to own, and ownership is everything.
Chris, to you, how important is it?
I think ownership is everything. You know, there's no reason not to own something, especially in today's society and the resources that we have. We have the ability to provide and get all the information in order to be successful. It's just giving that extra effort that we have to. You know, I tell people if you're able to put 40 or 50, 60 hours in for somebody else, try to put that in for yourself and see what happens. You know, so I definitely encourage everyone to own something. It doesn't matter if it's a lemonade stand, you know, something that you can just call your own. So I definitely believe in that.
And like Jonathan, you said something, and again, we spoke on this a little bit last week, is, you know, I sit down, I talk to people, and people be having great ideas, but they just so scared of failure, man. They so scared to just jump out there and just try it. Why do you think that is, Jonathan? Why do you think a lot of times people don't take that risk? Don't take that chance, even if they it's something that they love and that they know how to do. Why don't they? What you think it is that's stopping them from doing it?
I'll answer your question with the answer to the problem. To overcome the fear of failure, the thing that overcomes fear of failure is knowledge, planning, and preparation. So people have ideas, but they're afraid to do it or afraid to fail because they don't have proper knowledge, planning, or preparation. Once you have knowledge of a subject, you plan for it, and you prepare, then you're able to accomplish what you had in your head to do. And a lot of people have ideas, but don't put in the extra work to gain the knowledge, make a plan, and prepare to carry out successfully.
What you think, Chris?
I definitely agree with you on that, Jonathan, 100%. I also believe that it's really bills. You know, people are so accustomed to having that paycheck on Friday that they wouldn't know what to do if it doesn't come on Friday. And also a lot of people feel in fear, I don't have the money to start the business. But people don't understand that before you even get to the money, there's so many other steps that you have to take. And when it's time to get the money, you've already did all the research in order to get it executed at that point. That's one of my things that I see a lot with a lot of people is that they fear that, how am I going to pay my bills? You know, mm-hmm. And you just have to really step out on faith and believe in yourself when it comes to that. So, you know, and like Jonathan said, execution. It's easy to come up with ideas. The hardest part is executing. It's not always going to be, you know, great days. You know, it's going to be some rough days that you may want to quit. Like, but I tell people that same day you want to quit, that next day could be the day it all goes great. So you can get right, you don't get right there and then walk away from something that is right across to the next day. So, you know, it's a lot, you know. But my thing is another concern, or even what I tell people is like the worst that can happen if you did go out there on your own business is that you will be in the same job that you're in right now. It's easy to get the job that you already have. It's easy to get back to a 9-to-5.
Mm.
But if you were to go ahead and try it, the last thing you can say is that you failed. That's something that you really wanted to try to do. You know, so you see people that run into that a lot. You know, but that's the worst that could happen is you go back to the shit that you didn't like to do the first time.
That's it. Now let me ask you this, Jonathan. I'll let you go first. Now as a business owner. You know, even if you don't want to be on social media, you have to be, you know, you have to be, you know what I mean? It's like almost a must now if you're a business owner. How does social media help business, and how does social media hurt business?
Well, social media used correctly is one of the greatest inventions of mankind. Used correctly. And now, you know, we're talking about marketing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Social media allows me to take who I am and what I do and display it to somebody I don't know, who may be someplace I've never been. So I can stretch out my reach of who I am and what I do to literally all four corners of the world. So that's the beauty of social media. Used correctly. The reason why social media comes to be such a problem all the time with things is that people don't use it correctly. And again, it goes back to the plan, preparation, and execution. Social media, just like any other facet of having a business, has to be planned out and executed. It's marketing. I don't look at it as social media. I look at it as marketing, which makes it a part of my business. So now, I'm a photographer. So the pictures I post, when I post, who I post, how I post, all of it is a part of marketing. You know, I know that the people that view my work, that follow my work, if I post this picture at this time on this day, I'm going to get these amount of to look at it. You know, I'll have more females between the ages of 22 and 28. You know, if I post this picture at this time on this day, I'm going to have males between the ages of 35 to 45 being my predominant viewership. So, you know, I plan on that. I plan on posting certain things at certain times to, you know, incite people and to encourage people to, you know, view my work and eventually lead into bookings. And it works as long as you literally plan it out and you use it correctly.
Oh, my fault. My bad. I had it on. I had it hit mute. I was saying, Jonathan, you said if you use it correctly, it can't hurt you.
Right. It can't.
Okay.
It cannot hurt
okay.
you. The, you know, you cannot. You know, one of the things that any business owner needs to be seen, right? Chris, you know, he has multiple businesses. If I, as a consumer, never saw him or his product, then he'll never get my sale. So I have to be able to know he exists, see what he does, and then have an interest to, you know, get goods or services from him. So social media allows you to do that. Everybody has to be seen. You know, I mean, what's the sense of me, you know, making shoes if nobody sees them? There's no sales. So, you know, social media allows you to be seen. Again, the problem is that people don't plan out how to use social media. People aren't knowledgeable of that. People just doing what they see other people do. So, you know, and just like anything else, social media has a lot of garbage. It has a lot of this. It has a lot of that. That doesn't mean that you can't be successful using social media. That's not true. There are people making millions right now from social media. YouTube for artists, you know, Instagram, Twitter, all that. There's people literally making millions of dollars from social media. So regardless of what anybody else does, is what you do with yours, how you plan it, how you prepare it, and how you execute it.
Facts. Chris, how does social media help your business? But how does social media help business and hurt business?
Social media is technically everything in today's society as far as business goes. And that's something that I actually had to learn, you know, the hard way. Because technically, you know, without social media, you're really not allowing your business to grow the way it should. Because these days, your consumer, that's the only thing that they know. So social media is definitely something that every business must have if they want to market themselves these days. You know, the response is ridiculous when it comes to that. So, you know, I totally support social media. You know, the downside of it, you know, the only downside of it is, I would say, is when you have those customers or those people that's able to leave posts or negative things on there that's not true. You know, that's the only downside, really, is false news on social media. If you're able to eliminate false news on social media, you know, it would definitely be a brilliant resource. You know what I mean? But those would be my pros and cons, really, with those two. You know what I mean?
Facts. I think I mean, Jonathan, we talk about this all the time. I think social media is dope because, again, like you said, it gives you the opportunity to be in New York and talk to somebody in Australia, you know, without spending a dime and be able to do business. You get what I'm saying? Like, without ever even having to meet this person. So, you know, I love that part of it. Chris, I agree with you. Like, the downside to me is that people are able to do that. You know what I mean? We see companies, we see not only companies, we see people, you know, make one wrong post and everything is gone. You know,
right.
Just like
that's
that, everything that you work for. So, which leads me into my next thing about social media is, well, not just social media, just America and us as a whole. Do you think, like, we're getting too sensitive as a people, as America, like, far as, you know, people being able to say what they want to say and not have the fear of losing their business or losing customers? You know, I always feel like I'd rather for you say what you mean than to hold it in, and I never know that you felt that way. You get what I'm saying? I don't think white, black,
right.
Asian, whatever. I don't think nobody should lose their entire building. I mean, their entire company or everything they work for because of how they felt. You get what I'm saying? Like, if people still want to shop with them for that, cool, let it go on. But if they don't, then they don't. So, Jonathan, I'll let you go first. How do you think we're getting soft on that, or do you think that if they say something wrong, they should lose everything? They should get canceled. That's a new culture. They call it the cancel culture.
No, actually, I don't think it's too soft or anything like that. I think that social media is a part of our society. And so social media is indicative of our society. Social media reveals who we are. Now, the key to remember is that when we're talking about this subject, we're talking about what happens to people, you know, when they post something and stuff like that. But one thing to look at is who is it happening to? Because the last I checked, there's a guy in the White House right now who point blank told people that he grabs women by the pussy. And all kinds of crazy stuff.
Mm.
And the last I checked, he's sitting in 1600 Pennsylvania. So, you know, again, social media will reflect our society. And as black men or as people of color, black people or people of color, period, that's always been the case. You know, years before, they would string you up for saying something that others would say and wouldn't have a problem. You know, they literally lynched and mortified Emmett Till for speaking to a white woman. So this is no different. You got to realize that all because we have the freedom of expression that social media provides, that we still live in America and this society is still, you know, still sees us the same way and still treats us the same way, whether it's social media or in quote-unquote real life. That's why Nick Cannon got hammered so hard.
And that
you think Nick Cannon got hammered that way? Right. If Nick Cannon was a white man, and if Nick Cannon was a white man and he made that kind of comment about black folks, and he turned around and apologized and all this and that, you think they would have tore him up like that? No.
No, of course not. Absolutely not. You know, it's to a point. It's to a point, you know, that we're not really able to voice our opinions and our thoughts. You know, so before it's like we always had to tiptoe on, you know, what the white people would think. You know, at this point, we should be vocal, be proud of what you say, and the longer you stand by it. That's the thing as far as what we need to do now is just don't say anything that's stupid. Just say something that's powerful and more positive as far as, you know, when it comes to that. Because, you know, right now, being sensitive is not what we need right now, not as a black people. Like, as a black people right now, we need to come in as a force. You understand what I'm saying? Like, this is, like, I tell everybody, this is an economical takeover as far as a power shift. Like, everything right now, 80% black-owned, you understand what I'm saying, can come back to us. Right now, white people are willing to spend money with us. They don't have to own anything anymore. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm sitting here trying to tell a lot of us. It's like, if we come together, don't worry about the dollars right now. Just think about the purpose. You understand what I'm saying? We actually have a chance right now for our youth to see something that we never had the opportunity to see. Never. So it's like, this right now is not a time to be sensitive on anything that you do or you say. You just make sure you're 100% and 1,000% behind it, and you have a team of people behind you supporting what you do. You know what I mean? So I definitely believe, and I'm not with this sensitive at this point. You know, I'm all in. You understand what I'm saying? They did this in front of our face and on camera, so there's no being sensitive about anything that we do anymore, like at all. So, you know, that's where I'm at with that tone, to be honest with you. So I don't really give a damn how sensitive they are. I don't want us to be even a drop of sensitive at all, because we lost that when George Floyd right there on TV like that. We lost all of that.
Facts.
So we say what we want to, and we move how we want to from here on out.
And I think this is why ownership is so important, because when you own something, you don't have to tiptoe. You don't have to apologize for what you feel.
But,
you get what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely. Absolutely. You are the boss. You understand what I'm saying? You are the boss.
Yeah. I think you see a lot of these guys apologizing and I'm sorry, I didn't mean it, because these guys don't own anything, man. Like, you know, it shocked me to know that Nick Cannon didn't even own Wildin' Out. And they say that over the last 13 years, he turned that into a billion-dollar brand that he don't even own, that they just kicked him off. He built it, and they just took it from him. Like, go ahead, you fired. You removed. We're going to get somebody else to do it. So it's very, very important for people to not only not just to join a movement because it's a thing to do, but really pay attention to what's going on and how things are shifting. And a lot of these people are desperate, man. A lot of these people are desperate, and like Chris said, a lot of other races are willing to shop with us now that wouldn't ever shop with us. You get what I'm saying? They're willing to spend money with us. They're willing to loan us money. It's so crazy right now, man. It's weird. It's like 2020 has been the biggest wake up call for Black America ever. In all my years, my 40 years on this earth, like 2020 has definitely been. It's like everything I'm seeing, bro. As true eye opener, like everything in our
true eye opener. Everything that we always said is not being right.
Go ahead, bro. What'd you say?
Right. You know, so right now we're seeing everything that we knew was ours now actually being shown and respected now. You know, they're acknowledging everything that we've been saying for years, but we never was able to actually express. So it's now in a different time. So, you know, I agree. And corporations, like you saying, Tone, you know, they got to respect it. And you know, they have to make the different moves and the necessary in order to move forward.
And here's the thing too. I think go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, let me jump in real quick, because we have to be careful. Being acknowledged and being respected are two different things. They're acknowledging because they have to, not because they want to. The respect for us, the opinions of us, and the dealings with us have not changed one bit at all. It is a simple fact that they have to, because the whole world saw, and so public opinion swayed a different way for now. But don't get it twisted. That does not mean that anything is any better. That's why we can't stop. Nick Cannon is a perfect example of that fact, that truth. We have to be just as diligent as ever, because all this has done for us in 2020 is it's given us an opportunity to galvanize, because their evils are out in the public and they're not able to respond for them accurately. They can't say, oh, that was a mistake, or oh, so the hell what, or whatever, because it's caught on video, it's out in the open. But that doesn't mean they think any differently or that they'll proceed any differently. So we must continue. This, nothing has changed. I'm telling you, I'm sure as I'm sitting here, nothing has changed. Until we see this thing through, nothing has changed.
I'm going to agree and I'm going to disagree, if that makes sense. I agree that we got to keep our foot on their neck, right? We know that some of this stuff that they're doing is just because they got caught with their pants down. You get what I'm saying? So, and right now, black people are really, you know, this wasn't a 1 week or 2 week thing. It wasn't just like the, you know, oh, that's the news. Oh, he killed them. Oh, we're going to march, then be done. No, it's still going on right now. You know what I mean? We're 2-3 months in, probably longer than that. But what I disagree with is nothing's changed. Things have changed because here's the thing. It's like this. White billionaires in this country, what's the word I'm looking for? They don't conform, right? They don't, no matter what goes on, this ain't George Floyd wasn't the first person that was caught on camera getting killed. You know what I'm saying? Tamir Rice. There's a lot more that was caught on camera getting killed. The thing is now is that black people aren't spending their money. A lot of black people aren't spending their money with these big corporations. And if they feel it, they might not be putting it on TV, but they're feeling the effects of that. They're feeling the effects of that. So in a sense, it's not genuine that they're saying sorry or Black Lives Matter, but we're kind of forcing them, like, you have, like not because you want to, because we're making you do it. You get what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Like, we're making them do it because we're not spending our money, and that's all it took for years. All we had to do was take our money from them and put it back to our own. And this, it shouldn't have, everything happened for a reason, you know, but it didn't have to take all these police shootings and all this for us to do what we're doing now. It was just as simple as us just pulling the money. We spend the most money. You know what I mean? Look, prime example. Look at this. This is how powerful we are. And this is something that happened a long time ago with Jay-Z. They was promoting Chris Dow. So he said he went and sat down with him and was like, hey, like, you know, we promoted in our songs, you know, we saying it all the time, like, you know, let's work out a ambassador deal. And they flat out told him no. Like, nah. For what? So what he do? We ain't drinking Cristal no more. We drinking, I can't think of the name of his drink, but we drinking that. Have you heard anything about Cristal? The week Jay-Z said that, Cristal plummets 90%. So that's all we got to keep doing. All we got to keep doing is doing that. Okay, you like Gucci? Oh, you like high-end stuff? It's high-end black-owned fashion people, too. You know what I mean? It's not just Gucci and Louis Vuitton and all those. It's high-end black-fashion owners, too. We got to spend our money with them. It's just that simple, man. It's a simple fix. And I think that's what we're doing now. I honestly think that this is why they are making all the changes. Me and the wife was out last week or during the week, and we riding past buildings. And I'm talking about these buildings that big corporate buildings, big signs, Black Lives Matter. We stand with this. We do this. We do this. And I'm thinking, like you said, John, that's why I said I agree with you, and then I disagree. It's 50-50. It's like, okay, they're doing that because they don't have a choice, but then again, they're doing that because we are forcing it. Because now you have to. Because it's like this. If you don't, then we're not rocking with you. And even if you still do it, we might not be rocking with you. I feel like we got so much power right now. We just got to stay focused. We got to spin black. We got to keep creating. We have to keep creating opportunities for the, because this is not about us. This is not about Chris. This is not about you, Jonathan. This is not about me. This is about the 10-year-old, the 5-year-old. This is about them, like Chris said, seeing something that we've never seen, that we've never got a chance to experience. This is them going into a bank and seeing a Chris or seeing a Jonathan or seeing a me. You get what I'm saying? Signing their loan, giving them a loan. So that's what this is about. I think we had to keep that foot on their neck. We had to keep promoting ownership, entrepreneurship. I really feel like things have changed. But Jonathan, I do agree, we can't let up. Like, we can't just get comfortable. Like, okay, the NFL said sorry, so we're going to just go ahead and start watching sports again and buying all the merchandise. No. We want more than that. Like, it got to be more than that. But let me get this caller on real quick before we close out. 6849 GI Radio, you on?
Hey, what's up, fellas? It's Jay. How y'all doing today?
What's up,
hey,
man?
What's up, Jay?
Fantastic.
What's good? That's great. Listen, a quick comment. I think that definitely entrepreneurship is what we got to go through. With all that's going on, it's even more important that we do our own thing. But if we are going to ally ourselves with these companies, we have to make certain demands of them. Oh, you want my business? Okay, how many black people of color you have on your board or in your organization? That's the demand I got to make. So if Nike wants to work with GEI, I'm like, yo, Nike, show me what you're doing. Because not only give me lip service when you're making shirts of Black Lives Matter or whatever the case may be, but who is on your board advising you? So any of these big companies that want to do business with us going forward, we have to ask the really important questions. All right, you want to give us bread, you want to do that, but what's in your management team? Because that's where it's going to show true change operation. The Washington Redskins, right? Mm. Okay. They're gonna change their name, but what's your organization look like with women, with people of color, whatever, you know, just being brought in a particular sense. You know what I'm saying? So I think that we have to demand more from them if they want to do business with us. We have the upper hand in that particular sense because we do patronize Hollywood big time. We do patronize the clothing industry big time. We do go out to eat and all that kind of stuff. But now I'm asking you, what do you have in your company if you want me to spend money with you?
Fact. I agree. You know, again, like you said, and another thing is, too, like we always talk about with our kids, it got to be more than just sports, right? I understand you want your son to be LeBron, you want your son to be Derek Jeter, a Tom Brady, whatever the sports person that you like. But, you know, we need more doctors, we need more lawyers, we need more police officers. You get what I'm saying? We need more firemen. We need more restaurant owners. Like, just teaching our kids sport, I think that's one of the things that's hurting us too. Because here's the thing, like we said before, when a kid spent 18 years of his life, you know, playing sports, and then when he graduates from high school, he don't get no scholarship. He's not, you know, he can't afford to go to college. He never learned anything else. So now it's Target, it's Walmart, it's a warehouse, it's a plant. You know, it's Under Armour, it's starting at Nike. When if you do have a playing sports and you are introducing new things to his life, like if he doesn't get in there, he could fall back on this. Well, I learned how to, you know, maybe, you know, build houses. So he can start his own business building. I think that's very important too with us growing, like our kids, like it can't just be on sports and news and rapping, and it's so many other avenues for these kids to go to that we have to, you know, we have to sometimes push them or let them pick what they love. You get what I'm saying? Let them pick they love.
Right. You know, I totally agree with you on that. You know, being able to help the youth find their purpose sooner than later just allows them to pretty much be able to grow and be more successful sooner. So, you know, I definitely support when it comes to really trying to horn in on their skills sooner than later, because it really helps. It really helps.
Well, again, that's where social media comes into play. Children, kids will gravitate to what they're exposed to. From an early age, you know, us on the phone, from an early age, we grew up watching, you know, Jordan, watching Kobe, watching, you know, we grew up playing basketball, football, baseball, you know, so that's what we gravitated to. Those were our heroes, right? Now, because of social media, you know, we see realtors, we see doctors, you know, like that big push they had with on social media, that challenge with all the black nurses and black doctors, you know. Social media allows you to see and broaden your perspective. So this group of children, like my daughter wants to be a lawyer. She don't give a crap about no sports. Now, she grew up playing soccer, but she's now gotten into that whole I want to be a lawyer thing because of what she's seen, you know, over the years on social media. And so social media allows us. The problem is that, you know, we don't guide social media, like I said before, you know, where a lot of the kids are growing up wanting to be, you know, just a rapper or a video vixen or whatever. You know, we kind of went through that stage. But, you know, us as a people, we have to remember that our children will gravitate to whatever we expose them to, you know. And then as far as these big corporations and stuff, I mean, it's cool that they're putting Black Lives Matter on the streets and on their buildings and stuff, but that's just appealing to your customer base. That's like putting a 10% discount sign in the window, because black people are 12% of the population in the United States, but we're 63% of the buying capital. We spend the most. I don't care about you putting a sign in your window saying Black Lives Matter. I'm with Jay. How many black folks you got working there? Who's in your leadership? Who's in your management? You know what I mean? So I kind of see both sides of it, and that's why I said, you know, we haven't gotten, you know, nothing's changed, because change is not external. Change is internal. So, you know, the fact that I see the Black Lives Matter signs, and that's dope. Don't get it twisted. Government buildings, all of that. Okay. There's still white people sitting in government buildings. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's kind of like, I think the door is open, but we got to make sure that not only does the door stay open, but that our people are actually walking through the door. If that makes sense, Chris. What you think, Chris?
I totally agree with you on that. You know, because that's the biggest part. You know, you covered everything on that. So I support that 1,000%.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, right? Like you said, we can't let up. We can't let up. And I think it's, again, I mean, of course, it's a slow change. I think it would have been, you know, for them to just start hiring a whole bunch of black people like that, like it wouldn't have been right. I think it's happening. But it's happening at a slow pace. I think it's a lot of things is changing. I think a lot of people in those jobs, in those positions, are now demanding. You get what I'm saying? So, like, the few black people that do work in banking, the few black people that are lawyers, the few black people that are in government or at these corporate spots that have been there, that work for these corporate companies, who's been overlooked for so long, I think that this movement now is giving them power to be like, hey, you know, I'm far more qualified than the guy that you picked, you know, over me because of race. You get what I'm saying? So I think more people are waking up to being like, look, is it going to be like this or I'm out or I'm going this way? And I think that's why they're doing what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? Because, again, this is not the first person that got killed on camera. You get what I'm saying? You know, this is not the first person. Right. I mean, I haven't seen this many billionaires apologize in my life. It's getting to the point where I'm like, shut the fuck up, man. You know, it's just like, all right, another one. You know, I've never seen this many billionaires, NFL, NBA, NHL, NASCAR, Amazon. I mean, you name it. They making Black Lives Matter posts. They making this post. They making that post. They making this post. Because they understand, like, yo, they not playing this time. You know, all the other time, it was a little two-month thing, and then we went back to partying and spending on the next thing that come about. I mean, you see what they throw. They throw all these distractions at you, the Jada and Will, all these different things. Man, people don't care about that stuff. People is locked in right now, man. People locked in on getting justice, changing, and getting the people out that need to be out. Just getting what's owed to us, man. Like, this really getting what's owed to us. I mean, of course, you know, we could go, this thing could go on forever. You got 400 years of free labor, man, 400 years of free work. Of course you're going to be up. You know what I'm saying? Of course your generation and generation and generation and generation is going to be rich. 400 years of free labor. I always tell people, if you can get somebody to work for you for 2 years for free and give you all the checks, you're good. And all you got to do is sit back. So just imagine 500 million people.
So check this out, because, Tony, you keep setting me up. here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. Everything you're saying is 100% facts. Chris, everything you're saying is 100% facts. Here's where I'm at with this, right? Like you just said, what we need to do now, right, while we're keeping our foot on their necks, we need to be training our people to become corporate business people. We need to be training our people to have an inside role in these companies. Now that we have their attention, now that they have to somewhat bend to our will, the next step is, who do we have here? You know? Where are, you know, the next group of black politicians? Where are the next group of black CEOs, black CFOs? You know, where are these people? So while it's two-folded, it's the efforts that we're doing as black people against society, against, you know, white privilege, against all that. But then it's also the efforts that we're doing to galvanize and to lift up our own, so that the doors that we're opening, the seats inside those doors will have black bodies in them. So there has to be a two-sided thing.
I think that we don't train them to go work for them. I think the ownership, like, if we're going to train them, we train them to go work for Chris. We train them to work for, you know, to work with you. We train them to work for myself and everybody else that has companies. Like, we're not training our youth to go out and to work for the same man that's, you know,
the
same billionaire. We're not doing that. We're not training them to do that. We training them to, so we can build and create and keep it in-house as far as our community. You get what I'm saying? So if we're going to be training and doing what we already doing, I mean, like Chris said, Chris has a team. We have a team, Jonathan. So we already doing it. So we're just going to be bringing on more and more people and training them to be successful and to be their own bosses as well, if that's what they choose to do. You know what I'm saying? Some people are cool with being workers, and that's cool because we need workers. We, you know, everybody can't be a boss. We know that. But I'm not training anybody in GEI to go and work for a billionaire, a corporate billionaire. You get what I'm saying? Like, no, I'm training you to either stay here and make money with us or start your own business and get your own team, and then you train them, and then we keep it going on and on and on like that. That's what we're doing.
So that leads me to a question for both of you. Chris, you first. Do you ever think we'll ever get to the point where we restore Black Wall Street, where we have a city, an area that is all us, you know, governed by us, all the money stays with us, and, you know, we just build up like we did when we had Black Wall Street in Tulsa.
I totally agree. The Black Wall Street will come back. I'm a fan of that, and I'm pushing for that. I actually want to be one of the first transportation companies on Black Wall Street. So, you know, we have the resources, we have the people, we have the minds behind it, you know, which is pretty much putting everyone together to actually believe it. You know, like you said earlier, this is the time that we put our foot on our neck. You know, it's no days off. That's what I tell everybody. We play both sides of the ball right now, offense and defense. If we want to win like we're supposed to win and get what we're supposed to have, that's what we need to do right now. So anybody that's out there that's not doing that right now, they're slipping. So there's no more excuses. There's no more saying they didn't give me this and I'm not able to get that. We're taking it. If you're not trying to take it right now, you're not on the right side. You know, and so when it comes to that, hell yes, Black Wall Street will be back, and we will be a part of that. And I'm telling everybody that's listening right now, absolutely. So that's what we're doing. You know, that's why we're having these conversations. That's why we're having these round talks. That's why we're doing all of this. So that's a comeback. So I totally agree with that, and we're going to be part of that.
I think Black Wall Street, I agree with Chris. I think Black Wall Street is already here. It's just one person in Florida, one person in California, one person. Once we all bring it together, then, you know, when we pick that city or we pick that country or wherever we decide to do it and come together at, it's already here. I mean, you got to think about it. It's we have three business owners on the phone right now. Well, we have four. Jay, you get what I'm saying? That's just a small group. Transportation, entertainment, you know what I'm saying? Clothing. So it's real estate. So once we put it all together, once we get the opportunity, you know, when the timing is right, we put it all together. Black Wall Street is simple. I think it's easier now to build Black Wall Street than it was when they did it back then. It's just that we just got to all come together. We all got to, you know, like you said, pick a spot and be like, okay, this is a new Black Wall Street. We're about to buy up this whole city. We're about to start buying up everything, all the retail stores, all the buildings, everything. So
I totally agree.
It's here.
Like I was telling everybody earlier, even on Instagram, is that we need to buy a bank. When I try to tell you, I'm 100%. All in with that. So let's join forces and let's make that happen. And that's something that's very doable once we put together our resources.
Okay. So we're gonna talk. I seen that post, Chris. We definitely gonna talk about that.
Yeah, soon. We had talked about that before, Chris. So yeah. Mhm. I'm on that.
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, brothers, and all the listeners. And I definitely look forward to another one of these and many more.
That's it. Before we get off, because we passed the time, but I just want everybody to know, let everybody know where they can find you at, Facebook, Instagram, website.
You can find me at www.prodigyliving.com. Or just actually Warren's Transport, www.warrenstransport.com. Get any information, any CDL drivers, anybody looking for a driving position.
Okay. Jonathan, where can they find you at?
Check me out on the social media so they can see my work as a photographer. It's at JEPhotos_CEO. JEPHOTOS. _CEO on all social media platforms. You can check out my company, GEI. Just put hashtag GEI in any social media and we will pop up. There's several different divisions and aspects of our company. So the best way to search it out is hashtag GEI. I'm the president and Tone is the chief executive officer. So, you know, that's the best way to find us. We look forward to rocking with you, working with you. We are out here. We do everything you can think of in media. So let's get to work.
Facts. And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at GEI_Tone, Facebook Tone Mitchell. And you can follow the show at GEI Radio on all social media platforms. Again, fellas, it's always a pleasure having these conversations and these talks. I think we need to do it more often. You know what I'm saying? And keep building. Everybody keep doing it. Chris, bro, you already know what it is, man. Appreciate you taking time out your schedule to kick it with us.
Everybody enjoy
the rest of their Sunday, man. Peace.
Peace.